It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 377, entitled Events. It was recorded on Monday, the 22nd of June, 2026. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by three fabulous guests. My co-host is Takeover Donshot, but also I am joined by Robert Abella and also Alex Standiford. It's a WordPress podcast, so you know what? We talk mostly about WordPress, the roadmap to 7.1 and who's in charge of all of that. A lot of the conversation is spent on that. New features that are coming, why we like them, what we think is going to be useful. The WordPress community takes up a lot of the chat as well. We talk a great deal about events, how to make them better, how paid events are interesting in some ways, and also ways that the WordPress community can now contribute and talk to each other on Slack in a variety of different languages. We spend a bit of time talking about WPLDN and the fact that that is turning 150, not years, but events. They've done 150 of their WordPress meetups. We also talk a lot towards the end about security, and Robert, being an expert on that, chimes in an awful lot. And right at the end, I plug my son's band. Somewhat unexpected, but you know what? It's a good thing to do, and their music is very fun. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. Hello there. Hello, 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 hello. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Welcome. WPBuilds.com. That wasn't what I meant to say, so I'll back out of that and try again. This Week in WordPress is what I meant to say, and we're on episode number 377. That's quite a lot. That's more than one every day for a whole year. I know. It's ridiculous. But the plan is to talk about WordPress. We might get diverted onto different, you know, bits and pieces, because we often do. AI seems to be a thread that we pull from time to time, so no doubt we'll get into that a little bit as well. I will introduce the panel in just a moment. We'll get to know them and a little bit about them. But just to say that if you have stumbled across us, or in fact you're a return visitor, you probably know the drill, but I'm going to mention it anyway. The best URL to watch this is wpbuilds.com/live. That's the easiest one to remember, because the YouTube URL is obviously just a series of random letters at the end. So I've pasted it over there. You can use the YouTube comments, so you need a Google account. I've put those next to the video as well. If you don't have a Google account and don't want a Google account, whatever the reason, then you can actually add the comments into the video itself. There's a little live chat button top right of the video, so it's actually inside the video. And that'll enable you to write something if you don't like that. Most people seem to give us their commentary over on YouTube. So if you fancy doing that, please, please, please don't be shy. It keeps this show going. It's really great when people do that. I think that's probably all the housekeeping that I've got. Okay, in which case I will go around the houses and introduce the panel. Firstly, over there, I really want to be able to just push that, just to keep going. One day I will figure out a way to make that happen. It's Taco Vadonshot. How are you doing? You all right?
Yes, I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah. No, you're so... Oh, thank you for showing up. Taco's been great. Because I was pretty late to putting the show notes together, because I was doing some other stuff over the weekend, he pasted a load of links in. So I'm very, very appreciative for that. So quite a lot of what we're going to look at today is because of Taco. So Taco's bio has changed recently. You may have noticed that where it used to say different things under his name, it's now saying something else. And let's get into that. So after 11 years at Yoast and 18 months at Progress Planner, Taco is joining your.online, the new home of Progress Planner after its acquisition earlier this month. As always, his goal is to make the web a better place for everyone. He's also a longtime organizer of the WordPress meetup in Nijmegen. Outside of work, you can find this happily married father of two on his trails bike or on a golf course where he's training to get a golf license. Do you need a license?
Yes, you do.
You have a license to play golf? Yes. Really?
Yes. Yeah, you do.
Is it just in the Netherlands or?
No, it's worldwide.
Okay.
Yeah, you need a registered handicap, which sounds way worse than it is.
Okay.
In order to play, to play golf.
Yeah, I did not know that. I thought you could just rock up and just play golf like you can tennis or anything like that. No.
It is true for mini golf, though. You can play that without a license.
Yeah. I know that Alex plays a different kind of golf. You throw his version of golf. Is that right?
I think, yeah. I do. Yep. And it does not require a license, although I am really bad at it. So
that's amazing. I genuinely didn't know that. But then again, I suppose that we have a golf course in the town where I live, and right alongside the golf course is a thin road and then a bunch of houses. And I was chatting to one of the guys because I park there because it's nearest the beach. I park there and we got chatting, and he said, two or three times a year, one of his car windows will get smashed. Occasionally, one of his house windows will get smashed. And he said, basically, somebody who doesn't know how to hit a golf ball.
Yeah, so, that would be me. Totally. Yeah.
Okay. You're right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we've got totally derailed already. We're talking about golf. There we go. But thank you, Taco, for joining us today. Really appreciate that. You may have noticed that side, there we go. For years, the WP Builds logo has been a hexagon. It still is. And I've got hexagons all over the place. And I only noticed just now. Where is it? It's there. Look. Mellopress. We're all there. Check it out. Everybody's got hexagons. This is great. What a random thing that is.
The best of guns, as it were.
Tessellates beautifully, doesn't it? Tessellates beautifully. But this is Robert. And you can see Robert is sporting the Mellopress logo over there. So how you doing, Robert? You're right.
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Coincidentally, Taco and Robert. Oh, look at the way I've joined that up. I know that wasn't easy. Both of them live in Nijmegen, and both apparently have wooden paneling.
Close to Nijmegen.
Close to. Actually, I can, during this episode, I can walk to Taco. Within 5 minutes, I'll be there.
So. Okay.
It's actually like one wall of paneling.
The same wall. The famous 5 kilometer paneling wall of Nijmegen. I mean, obviously, he's heard of that. Right. Let me read the bio. Robert Abella is the CEO and founder of Mellopress, developers of user visibility, security, and management plugins for WordPress, with more than 20 years of experience in software development and cybersecurity. Robert has held R&D, product management, and leadership roles at security software companies, including Acunetix. I don't know if I've said that right. Apologies if I have.
Acunetix.
Thank you. Acunetix, where he managed the development of a leading web vulnerability scanner. So there's Robert. I can't believe the hexagon thing. That's really blown me away. It's three out of the people. Go and get a hexagon, Taco. What the heck are you? What's going on?
What hexagon are you doing, again?
So yeah, he's like that non-hexagon guy. Yeah. And then finally joining us over there.
Before we move on, there's one thing that Robert forgot to add in his bio.
Oh yeah.
And that is the fact that he is the latest addition to the WordPress Meetup Nijmegen organizing team.
Yes.
Oh, nice. So. Thanks. Well, thank you. That's brilliant. We're going to talk about WordPress events, large and small, a little bit later. So stay tuned for that. And over there in that corner is Alex. Alex Standiford. Hello. It's not easy, is it, Robert? It's not easy to get that right. I get it wrong. I used to get it wrong 100% of the time.
It's easy. What are you talking about? I'm not having any trouble here.
Alex is pointing at his own head. So Alex, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's been a crazy couple of months. And thanks for having me. I'm excited to, always excited. Like I said, last time when I was on, I was talking to you somewhere. I'm always excited to be on the show.
Well, I'm pleased about that. It's a fairly irreverent show. We try to inject it with a little bit of humor here and there, keep it as interesting as possible. And so here's Alex's bio. Alex is a software developer, long-time entrepreneur, and the founder of Siren. That's the hexagon logo that you can see there, which is a product built on WooCommerce. Over more than a decade of shipping software, he's become an established voice in the WordPress and WooCommerce communities. Now, he's teaching people without a coding background to build real working tools with AI, the kind of thing that used to require a whole development team. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you about a podcast episode Alex and I recorded recently, which quite literally blew my mind. It was honestly, I left that and went down, and I never talk about my podcast to my wife. But I went down and said, I've just done this recording with this guy, Alex. And he said this, and she was like, oh, wow. So that's coming up in a moment. Like I said about the comments, if you want to make comments, we really appreciate that. We'll try to put some of them on the screen as often as we can. If I miss the boat and your comment gets swept up and, you know, avoided. I'm not doing it on purpose. I apologize. So here's James. He's saying greetings from Orlando, Florida, currently 26 degrees centigrade in a sensible unit. It will go up to 35 degrees centigrade today. Every day has been boiling hot, dripping bacon juice. It's not that hot here, but it's definitely hot here. So appreciate that. Lana Mira joining us saying good evening. I don't know where you are in the world, but
she's
obviously
my colleague.
Earlier.
She's my colleague, Lana.
Ah, Lana. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, wherever it is, it's the evening. Courtney's joining us. Hello. Summer, winter across the hemispheres. Yeah, definitely the summer. We're in the middle of the summer. Did you know it was the summer solstice yesterday?
Yes.
So in the northern hemisphere, it was the longest day possible. And I went to Stonehenge and hung out with the druids and watched the sun come up, and it was awfully fun. That was really
fun. A friend of mine walks up Ben Nevis, the highest mountain up in the UK, to see the sunrise, but he only saw
clouds. That's great. There was cloud. Where I was at Stonehenge, it was the most beautiful night. There was no cloud anywhere. So the minute the sun popped up, there was a little tiny wispy cloud, which made the sunrise even more magical because it kind That's of, cool. you know, went Bruce. Behind the cloud for a moment. It was absolutely breathtaking. It was really good. Hello from sunny Bridlington. Sorry, say again.
I said, I caught a fish.
I didn't
do all these crazy. You guys are doing. Oh, you can't. I said I caught a fish. You guys are doing all these amazing things. I went to a lake.
Normally, I'm just in bed. You know, it's the summer solstice. I wake up and think, oh yeah, that happened, did it?
Yeah, cracked me up.
I tried a bit harder this year. Howdy to Nathan, Robert, Alex, and Taco. Says Imran, Web, aka Web Squadron. Mellopress Rock. That's nice. Great team. Look at that. Look at that in the comments.
He's absolutely right.
Thanks.
Yeah, isn't that brilliant, though, when somebody just says that? That's lovely. Finally booked on... Oh, so Web Squadron, Imran, in other words, he's going to WordCamp US. Yeah, don't know about the WordCamp Asia, though. Yeah, that's still to be decided, isn't it? And thank you for that. Marcus Burnett, welcome to Orlando, James. Happy Monday, everyone. And finally, happy belated Father's Day to any of the dads as well. Oh, so it was Father's Day in the UK as well. Normally, they don't match up, do they? Like the European version and the American version, very often.
I don't think it was the American version, was it?
Oh, yeah. That's why I caught a fish.
That's what you do on Father's Day.
It's fishing. It's like, what's more dad coded than fishing? Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, I see. Does that mean then that you were sort of given like time off? It's like go and do whatever you
Literally. Yeah. We went to our camper and we got a kayak and I just, that's all I did. Went fishing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
With my daughter's first horse riding competition. Which was cool. Fantastic. Yeah.
Oh,
so proud of her. She did really well. So
that is awesome. Nice. Oh, that's lovely. I have two sons, both of whom entirely forgot that it was Father's Day. You know, I mean, just, they're older now and things like that don't kind of make it into the calendar. But anyway, let's get with the show.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's okay. So, all right, so the plan is to talk about WordPressy things, put things on the screen, and you know, hopefully our panelists have got things to say, and you join in the comments. Just in case you're interested, this is our homepage, which is where we put our content, and if you're interested in being emailed about it, we'll send two emails a week, drop your email address in there. Because we basically do two shows every week. We do the podcast, which I'll mention in a moment, and then we do this show, which gets actually wrapped up as a podcast and comes out tomorrow morning. And that's it. That's the only emails we send, basically. So this podcast episode will have a bunch of links, like probably about three or four times as many as the things that we're going to discuss about what's happened in the WordPress space. So stick your email in there, and I promise I won't spam you. This is the list of episodes that we've done more recently. So we did about WordPress.com, enabling you to sell things on YouTube. We had Miriam Schwab from Elementor talking about Angie. And then this is the episode in question that I was talking with Alex about. Alex, I don't even know how to sum this up, Alex. Alex has decided that AI is like everything.
Yeah.
And so for the longest period of time, like way longer than anybody that I know, Alex has been pushing like daily, like how to describe it? Like if you did a journal, like a journal of what's been going on in his life and his business at an AI, And the curious thing for me is, if you do that for like 3 weeks and run out of steam, it's probably because you didn't do what you've done, which is sort of like push through that barrier. And now your claim, at least I haven't done it, is that once you get a certain amount of context and enough data pushed in, it starts to give you some really meaningful stuff back. That's what I took out of it anyway. So
totally. Yeah. I'm using it as a way to help me make decisions in a lot of ways in my business and what I'm doing. So it's not just, so a lot of people are talking about coding, using it for coding and automation and stuff like that. And I'm using it to help me bounce ideas off. The biggest thing that I mentioned in that podcast without getting too far into it that comes to mind is, I just think about how relieved my wife is about the fact that I'm finally not like blathering at her about every single thought that comes to my mind. So like, you know, now I'm actually, so that's just an example, like one of those funny small things, but the bigger impacts is just like you're saying, I just have better recall. I'll have a conversation with it and it'll say something like, Alex, you've said this 4 times in the last 6 months, either commit to it or, you know, this is a pattern I'm seeing, like, you should probably be thinking about this a little bit more in some different way. Now, sometimes it gives terrible advice, but you know, that's
But I suppose it's not really advice. It's just, here's an alert, you react to it or don't react to it. That's the bit that I found quite curious. I have a prodigiously bad memory.
Yeah.
So much so that, you know, those things that I forget, when I'm reminded about them, I'll forget that I even had that as a thought all those years ago. And I've never committed to a journal. You know, I've tried a few times writing things down at the end of a day, and it lasts for maximum a couple of weeks.
Right.
But it was just curious that you were providing something that you then didn't need to go back and look through. It will kind of keep that focus for you. So honestly, go and listen to the episode. My jaw hit the floor a couple of times. and it was the amount that you were given up as well, which I thought was curious. You're fully at the end of the spectrum of people who are like getting into AI, as certainly that I've spoken to anyway. So very curious. So go and check that out for sure. Okay, right. Just looking if any other comments have come through. Not so far. So, well, not ones that are.
Yeah, I think a good one is what, and I didn't know, is that we share Father's Day, but not Mother's Day with the US.
Oh, okay, maybe that's what it is. All right, there you go. Not mother. Things that you learn. you can't say that coming to this podcast didn't teach you one thing today. Well, you can actually. If you are, who said that? Was it Elliot Sowersby?
Yeah.
He's learned nothing because he came, you know, he already knew that. Right, okay, let's press on. Right. First bit is a bit of informational content brought to you via Robert. Robert is on the lookout for recipients of his new survey. We mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but as Robert is on, he's put it into the roster. What are you trying to do here? What intel are you trying to gather, Robert?
Thanks. So basically, we run a survey every year. We've been doing it for the last 3 or 4 years or 5. Basically, it's a very short survey, 2 minutes. We ask people what they are doing to keep their website secure, what methods they use, what practices they have, maybe policies. And the idea is we gather all this information. And in September, we publish the results. We also last year, we hosted some sort of four people. Last year, with Oliver Sild and a few other ones from security, and we discussed the results. The idea is, of course, for people to learn what tools are working, what tools are not working, what other people are doing that maybe didn't work for them, etc. So it's for everyone to learn more on how to keep their website secure. And you can basically go to malapress.com/survey and take the survey. It only takes just 2 minutes.
Okay, so malapress.com/survey. And just one quick question. You don't need to have a security background. You're not asking like deeply technical, penetrating questions. This is more, if you've got a website, we want to hear from you about what it is that you've done for your tech stack.
Correct. Yeah. In fact, most questions are, if you use, for example, 2FA or not, you know, if you use backups, for example, or if something happens, go to, etc.
Okay. So once more, malapress.com/survey. Yeah.
Survey. Correct.
Yeah. There you go. That's the measure of my memory. Robert said that about 12 seconds ago and it's already gone. So, let's get into some of the bits and pieces that have been brought to our attention. Some of these have come from Taco, some from me. And then I've got a bunch of security stuff which Robert put in, and we're going to leave that till towards.
I think Alex has put some as well.
Oh, Alex has. If you've put some in, Alex, I haven't had a chance to see that, in all honesty. So no, shout at the end, and we'll get to that. Right. So, few bits around WordPress 7.1 or core, you might say. So this is the first one. We now have a roadmap for 7.1. This is written by Anne McCarthy. And actually, we'll just flip for 1 second to a different article, because I think these two things go hand in hand. Anne, for the first time, is going to be a release lead. So for 7.1 from this moment on, Anne McCarthy will be the release lead for 7.1. Great responsibility. But given the amount of work that Anne has done towards other releases and the project in general, I am very, very confident that Anne is the right person for this role. So hat tip to Anne. So firstly, thank you for doing that. And I guess part of that is to illustrate to people what the heck is going on with WordPress 7.1. So I've just highlighted a few bits. None of this is new. If you follow the project closely, you probably knew most of this, but nevertheless, here we go. So the new notes feature, this is the kind of thing that is going to come in 7.1. New notes features, including suggestion mode and emoji reactions, make asynchronous feedback more interactive. In terms of real-time collaboration, she says that's an exciting idea, and there are strategic decisions still to be made. So I guess punting that for the future still a little bit. New options for responsive styling and pseudo state styling. A new guidelines feature. This I think is really interesting. Adds a persistent, structured way to encode editorial rules into your WordPress, helping you keep your voice and preferences when collaborating with AI. So that's an AI feature where you can sort of tell whatever agent it is that you're using how you wish things to be done. And that's going to be baked into core, which is kind of interesting. New freeform image cropper so that you can get your images right. And it's going to be sort of like a modal where you're at that moment, which is kind of nice. There's going to be Unicode support, so for things like email addresses, slugs, usernames, things like that, so you can have other curious characters as part of your URL string. And new On This Day dashboard widget for those people who like to journal. You know, looking at you, Alex, the idea being that I guess it'll surface stuff that you did in the past on your WordPress site. You know, like 12 years ago today, you wrote this. And obviously, if you've got a big publication like TechCrunch or something, that kind of feature would probably surface rather a lot.
It'd be really cool for like my personal blog, for example. I've got every tweet and everything I've ever posted. So it would be great for that kind of thing too.
Right.
I'm really excited about that.
Almost every journal app that I've ever used and then thrown in the trash because I just can't keep it up is, but it ships with that feature. That's like a core thing, isn't it? You wish to, as part of your sort of meditation, for want of a better word, on the stuff you wrote, you want to be reminded, like, you know, this time last year you did this thing with your son, you know, Taco, be reminded in year, 6 years, whatever it may be, you went to the first pony competition with your daughter. That sort of stuff's really great. So anyway, any commentary above and beyond that for the stuff that you can see highlighted or
so
not?
I will add one thing. I think that the notes feature is a real sleeper here in terms of what people are talking about. I know that I've seen some commentary on it where people people have been a little underwhelmed maybe by it and thinking that it's not related to AI and that, you know, we need to be thinking about the future of WordPress and all this stuff. And I just, all I can ever think about is how relevant that is to that topic because a note doesn't have to be written by a human. It can be written by an AI agent. It can be written by something reviewing this and adding comments. Or if an AI agent is writing your content, you can add a note to that content describing things that need tweaked or need fixed or adjusted, and then have it asynchronously go back and actually make the improvements on it. So I'm really excited about that feature. It kind of reminds me of like how even in code, like a pull request works, where you're able to add comments in line into stuff and be able to collaborate with other people. And I've been doing that with AI for a while with code, and I would love to be able to do it with more writing.
It's kind of interesting that it got shipped as notes. You know, the naming of it kind of feels like you're attaching a sticky note to something. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's a place to go and write a reminder. I don't know, come back and finesse this paragraph a bit later. But when I heard somebody mention that the person that you may at mention, for example, doesn't have to be a human, that's when it kind of took off. But the fact that it's in like little discrete chunks, as opposed to a sort of threaded, you know, like just this long conversation, which stretches up and up, like you might do with a traditional LLM, I quite like that as well. It's much more discreet. And oh, one thing I didn't mention, in 7.1, I think, the idea would be a note at the minute is bound to a block. So if you hit return and you get a new paragraph, there's no way at the moment to attaching a note to those contiguous paragraphs. I think it's going to ship with more, like, I want this image and this paragraph and this paragraph, but not this one and this one. I want that to be in the context of what's going on. So you can select multiple things. So that should be quite neat as well. So
yeah. And I mean, you're saying, Alex, that a lot of people seem underwhelmed by the feature. For me, that is because I've been working in the Google suite, so Google Docs, for the last 12 years. And we've had this feature since forever.
Yeah.
Not at a block level, but at a character level. So yes, it's the perfect idea. Yes, it works really well with AI. No, it's not mature enough yet to compete with the tool that we've been using for the longest time to write content.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, very, very good point. Google Docs is, I can't remember Google Docs ever being bad. It's always been brilliant from the moment it came out. It was stunning. So just another quick thing about this particular piece. I'll just say that I've only highlighted the bits at the beginning, in the beginning paragraph, which is Anne sort of summing up what's going to come. There's a lot here, as so often is the case when Anne puts pen to paper. She goes to town. So there's a list of absolutely everything, including a load of stuff that I didn't mention there. So definitely go and check that out. If you're interested in what's coming in WordPress 7.1, there is that. Right. Okay. Shall I move on? Yeah, already?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Speaking of 7.1, oh, no, I've already done that one. Yeah, I've done that one. Right, forget that. So this is an interesting one. This is from the repository, which I should say was the Anne McCarthy piece was also from the repository. This is entitled Core Committers Float Chrome-Style Canary Approach for WordPress. Question whether RTC belongs in core. So a bunch of the core committers, there's a photo that you can see on the screen here. They were in attendance at WordCamp Europe, and so they took themselves off, found themselves a space, and they just get into a deep conversation about what WordPress might do in the near future. Them being core committers, their words carry weight, and so they met up and started throwing this idea around, which I'm not sure is entirely new, but certainly hasn't been talked about for a little while. And I'll just read what Ray wrote. Core committers discussed adopting a development approach similar to Chrome's, the browser, where experimental features would be gated behind feature flags, allowing contributors to work faster on more features at once. It would allow them to collect crash telemetry and request feedback earlier in the process. So at the moment, The core committers are saying it's very, very, very hard to get intel about new features they wish to ship to core, because you've got to go and set up a brand new version of WordPress, install like a beta release of WordPress, play with it, make it break, then go and write commentary. Wouldn't it be a good idea if all of that stuff was in core, but kind of switched off? A bit like they do over on the Canary build for Chrome. So you would install it, you would switch the bits and pieces on that you would need, and it would already have the telemetry built in to kind of feed back to the core team. I mean, it strikes me as a reasonable idea.
They have something similar, because there's the AI plugin, and there's also Performance, which is a collection of plugins. And because I was talking, by coincidence, at WordCamp Europe as well with Western Router, he's a core contributor. That's what I was saying. Like, to test performance, they have this collection of plugins. They are shipped first as plugins, experimental plugins. Some people test them, and then based on those which are used most or get most feedback, then they are included in core. So yes, it is very difficult for the core developers to get feedback actually of what's working and not, and what people actually are using and not.
Yeah, so they're saying here that currently pre-release versions of WordPress, so beta releases and what have you, the beta tester plugin usually get something around the 3000 install benchmark, which, you know, which is still a thing, but it's probably that 3000 installs is probably a real subset of people using WordPress, you know, really, really, really into the weeds of the project.
Yeah.
And it's nowhere near the amount that could be if the telemetry, I suppose, was kind of built in and all you had to do was enable a flag to make
it. Is it?
Taco, sorry.
Is it really? I mean, for the average WordPress user, they're able to install a plugin. They're also able to switch a flag somewhere in the UI. I don't think that if you really want to, there's that big a difference in how hard it is to do.
Yeah, you're noting there's a bit in this piece which makes exactly that point. I can't locate it right now.
But I think the biggest problem with enabling a switch is somehow is fine, because we see it even with our even other vendors, is some people might enable something, even though you tell them this is beta, be careful, don't push it on nice websites. They use these features on live websites. It creates problems and you get a lot of pushback. So you need to find it. I agree with you, Taco. I mean, just need to find the right balance between what we tell the users.
And, know, and I mean, might the fact that we have the beta plugin installed on only 3K sites not be an indication that people are not willing or able to test? I mean, the average WordPress user doesn't have a staging site and the live website and the testing environment. And
yeah,
I mean, and the failures are almost always silent on those sites. They'll have no idea that there's a problem that was caused by a beta. It's too risky.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if this is the solution.
Yeah. Probably those 3000 installations are developers. We're not exactly the typical WordPress user.
I find myself also wondering, and maybe this was kind of Taco's point, is how is this different than Canonical plugins? I guess I'm just trying to see, I mean, couldn't a lot of these beta features be put into a Canonical plugin? And I mean, maybe that's, it just feels like this is almost reinventing the wheel in a lot of ways. I think
it'd be interesting to see how it was implemented. Like, I don't know, if you could flash up a toast warning or something like that, you know, I don't know, do you fancy becoming a beta tester? Toggle this thing on and you're done.
And behind the scenes is just a Canonical plugin or something, maybe?
Well, I mean, you could install that with one click as well, presumably. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Taco's point is made here as well. So it said, the group discussed what can be just only be described as a chronic issue with testing and feedback in the project. And then it goes on to say, the meeting also acknowledged there also can be a hesitance among core committers to merge certain features because it's not clear what the desired level of testing is, or if it's actually been achieved. I don't know if that touches specifically on your point, Taco, but I think it's adjacent to it. So
yeah, so mostly the chronic issue with testing, but also because, I mean, ideally we'd love to for every WordPress site to have a testing environment where they can enable this, but that's not reality. So what is the actual group that we could reach for testing? Is that larger than those current 3,000 installs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Right. So we'll park that for a moment. But just to say that if you're interested in following that up, that came on the repository website. And really, I think it is just a bunch of people in a room having a bit of a chat at this point, just trying to figure out if there's a there. And it sounds from the discussion as if there was uncertainty, you know, there was some pushback.
Speaking I would also of, be interested, sorry, real quick. I would be real interested to see if they're able to get any kind of real traction with the telemetry piece. I've had some conversations about that in the past too, and it's met with a lot of friction.
I would imagine that would be the hardest bit to push at all.
By far.
There'd have to be quite a lot of separate tick boxes. Yes, I agree to. Yes, I know. I'm definitely certain that I want you to be receiving my telemetry. Yes, I realize what I'm doing and so on. Yeah, I can imagine there'd be a lot of pushback for that, wouldn't there? And no accidental way of enabling it. but also the conversation, the people in the room were, it sounds like, if you read towards the end of the article, trying to figure out what the heck we do with RTC. So real-time comments, this idea that notes is a sort of slimmed down version of being able to do Google Docs style actual collaboration. And although I thought that that was a done deal, it seems that quite a few in the core committers group were not entirely sure it as a whole belongs inside a WordPress core, perhaps like a subset of things that you would enable and then have to enable like a Canonical plugin or something like that. So that piece touches on that story as well. So, okay, right, we will move on in that case. If, unlike me, you speak other languages, I only speak English, and so I'm in the very fortunate position that more or less wherever I go, be that a WordPress event or, you know, reading documentation or anything, everything's in English. I don't have to really think about it, which I'm very grateful for. But obviously, across the WordPress project, that's highly undesirable. And one of the areas where that could be improved is the Make WordPress Slack. So the idea being, from now, it says, following Mary's post, so, you know, Mary, the executive director of the WordPress project, Mary Hubbard. Well, Mary's post on welcoming all languages and communities to the Make WordPress Slack. We're ready to start creating channels for local. So here's the list: local meetup groups, local communities, and flagship events. So if you've got one of those things, the conversation can begin, and there's a set of instructions on how to do it. If you're concerned about your message history, that can be dealt with. If you need more than one channel, or if you need a separate channel for organizers, that involves a conversation with the people setting it up. But anyway, there's instructions on how to get involved in all of that on this page. So I don't think there's anything much to say about that, or is there, Taco?
So the thing that I find most interesting is that it means that we now allow non-English language in the Make WordPress Slack, which may be interesting from a moderation perspective, especially given that I'm not sure if you've heard of the term false friends, but it's words that are written the same or sound the same in one language and the other, but have a completely different meaning. Your spam filter might pick up something thinking it is English, where it is a completely legitimate, normal word in another language. And so I'm really curious to see how that will go down and if there's going to be any issues there in moderating the Make WordPress Slack.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't really thought about that, because whenever the devil is in the detail, isn't it? Be interesting who gets the responsibility for moderating that, and if that would then fall on the shoulders of the person, I don't know, in charge of that meetup or what have you. Alex,
do you mean do you mean like whenever like for example, a Southerner in the United States will say something, this is totally going to be lost in this group. I just realized I'm the only American, that they'll say something like, oh, bless your heart. And like it reads as, you know, something that's genuinely nice, but it is not nice. And it is means a completely different thing in the context of that person. Yeah. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yes, but that's different meaning to the same words. But there's also a word in English that is spelled the same as a word in Dutch.
Oh, it has I see.
A different meaning. So it might be bad language in English, but a completely normal word in Dutch.
Gotcha. Okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
But these are about channels specifically per language / meetup, no? So
yes,
it won't make it to the main channel.
Okay, but I don't think that Slack has the option to moderate for different languages in specific channels.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
If you have a global these are bad words list or automatic moderation based on sentences, then I'm curious if it will pick up.
Yeah, that will be interesting. Yes. Yeah, the last thing you want is, you know, flame wars in that group. But anyway, it's there. You've got to make use of it by sort of asking to be included in that. But if you've got one of those things, you know, a meetup or what have you, and you would like it to be run inside the language of your choosing, you know, makes sense, I guess. But yeah, fair enough, Taco. That's a good point. Okay, we'll move on. I've got another make.wordpress.org one. And this is, so there's a few things, I might get them a bit out of order, but there's a few kind of local meetups and meetups pieces, which we're going to mention now. First one is from Pooja Dharashri, which was produced just a couple of days ago, called How Effective Are Our Advertising Efforts for WordCamp? Now, I didn't actually know this was a thing, but if you're a WordCamp organizer, you can request $400, which you would then spend in some way. It's earmarked for advertising and marketing. This comes through the global sponsorship grant. But apparently that $400, nobody has any track on how that is being spent or how effective that spend is, which, yeah, is very nice. Get $400 and spend it on a thing. But nobody centrally has a way of figuring out if that money has done well. Like, you know, if you dump $400 on Google Ads, did it get you new people to come through the door? If you did the same thing through Facebook ads, or you printed a bunch of leaflets or whatever it may be. So the idea here then is to make it more mandatory so that there's some kind of a reporting coming back. So a short mandatory question included on the ticket when you purchase. So on the screen there, there may be a question which you could ask, like, how did you hear about this event or something like that? A question, a post-event organizer, a question to the post-event organizer survey for any WordCamp. That's another option. And the idea also of building some better tooling. I mean, I know it's nothing. $400 in most situations is not a great deal of money, especially in the context of a big WordCamp that'd get lost very quickly. But still, it probably adds up to tens or, you know, possibly twenties of thousands of dollars, which the project is spending, which doesn't have a way of being tracked. So there you go. Any thoughts on that? Probably not.
So how do you track the efficiency of your marketing campaigns?
Yeah.
Well, attribution.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Last click attribution.
Hi.
Sorry.
It's funny you should say that. Alex has got a plugin.
Yeah.
I know, but that is a fraction of what marketing is doing.
Absolutely.
And so we might be and how do you do last click attribution for local prints in your local newspaper? Is it literally the people who type in the URL based on? It's so hard.
Yeah.
Yes, you can measure some, but to a certain extent, we just have to accept that we're spending money on hopefully getting the word out about our events, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, for print and stuff like that, the key thing that I always recommend for stuff like that, if you're trying to, where you can't attribute it directly, you have to make it toward the act of filling out the form on a specific page is what attributes it. So you create a different page that's similar or identical to that form, or, you know, some kind of, I mean, GTM tags and stuff like that have been around forever, but that doesn't work on a podcast or a thing where you got to read and type it. Nobody's going to type that. So you got to send them to a different page that redirects and tracks, and it's doable. It's just, you know, it takes a little planning for sure.
Yeah. And we don't necessarily have very good options over at WordCamp.org to create decent landing pages that are potentially no indexed or what have you. There's none of that. We don't have an SEO plugin on WordCamp.org. Mm-hmm. So you're going to create duplicate content pages that are slightly different so that you can track how you're spending your $400. Or we're adding friction by having everyone who has to, who buys a ticket, fill out a questionnaire. So we're adding a lot more friction for our end users so that we can justify $400. I don't know.
Sorry, I just realized my mic was off. Yeah, good point. I wonder if this piece in the article, this last bullet point was here, was something to do with what you were just saying, Taco, that it's just paraphrased as better tooling over time to make this easier to track consistently across events. So perhaps different landing pages being an option or something like that. I think you're right. Certainly about the adding a form, which would be mandatory in order to get a ticket. That is the sort of thing which probably in my case wouldn't bother me at a WordPress event, but other events where I'm not quite so wedded to the project, if you stick a question in front of me before I can get access to the ticket, it definitely would make me think twice. I don't really know why that is, but there's something there.
It's additional friction.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Any type of question, any extra step, it's just extra friction. Yeah.
I don't know if it's worse, but there's also an opportunity to capture it at registration whenever they're coming in too. Just thinking out loud.
That's okay. Okay. Well, anyway, there you go. So that is an endeavor to make that spend more traceable and trying to figure out if it actually does what it's supposed to do. All right, let's move on. So the next one related to WordPress events is Elliot Richmond in the UK. He is making video content for WordPress.com at the moment, amongst all of his other many achievements, like having a fabulously successful pizza business on the side. He makes the point that at his Cheltenham WordPress meetup, I'll paraphrase very quickly, it's very, very difficult now to get new speakers. You either are kind of like recycling speakers who have been recycled many, many times before, and it's hard. And if the speakers don't come and they've not, you know, and there's not a genuine interest in the subject matter that they're delivering, then the audience probably won't come. And you kind of get into this spiral of, you know, no interest in new speakers, so less attendees, because less attendees, less interested speakers, and you know how it goes. And so he's hoping to have an opportunity to sort of try and fix this. I've struck up a conversation with him. We haven't got anywhere yet, but hopefully, because I'm involved in helping out with the WPLDN, the WordPress meetup, which we do in London, hopefully there'll be some sort of like shared wisdom or something. But it's hard. It's really, really difficult. And I don't have an answer other than to say that if you are willing, please make yourself known to people like Elliot or myself or Dan, maybe if you're in the London area, especially, because we would be happy to have you and give you a voice and put you in front of those attendees to the London one. And I'm sure the same would be true for Elliot and Cheltenham. So I don't have an answer to this. It seems like, you know, attendance is dwindling. I don't know that the answer is going to be immediately obvious, but any thoughts on that? If not, I will move on.
I think Elliot is in the comments quite often, isn't he?
He's often here. Yeah, I don't know if he's here today. I haven't seen him yet.
So the interesting thing is we were at WordCamp Europe in Krakow a couple of weeks ago?
2 or 3 weeks ago.
He actually came up to me and said, "Hey, I recognize you from the WP Build podcast."
Internet fame, Taco. Oh.
Well, I mean, you're connecting people. But I mean, he's really working hard to make his meetup a success. But I think that he's struggling with the same issues that we all do, all the meetup organizers. Like he said, we've gone through the same speakers for a couple of years. And that makes sense because that's the people living close to your area. And getting people from abroad to speak at your meetup is unusual.
Yeah.
Like getting Robert to London.
Yeah, or Raquel.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he's right. I mean, I do it because, it's relatively easy and cheap. So it's like a day out for me at the end of the day. And meeting some new people, but you cannot do it on a monthly basis or so because it's still a hazard. So as Taco was saying, it's the numbers in general are going down, especially after Corona. I remember the first few meetups I've been to, the Nijmegen one before Corona. There used to be much more people.
Yep.
After Corona, at least we went back in person, but still the numbers are much more. It's not just, by the way, it's not just the Netherlands or UK. Whoever you speak to, it's a common problem everywhere. And this ties in, I think, with the whole idea of the WordPress Academy. We're joking around about it with a few people at WordCamp Europe. It's always the same people, unfortunately. As in, like, we're not seeing too many new people coming into this industry.
It is difficult. One of the things that Elliot's suggesting, although he's not wedding himself to it, is this idea of workshops where people show up, and rather than being kind of spoken at, for want of a better word, it's more of an interactive thing. So it might be, I don't know, how to build a block or something like that. Yeah. It's an idea. I don't know what we do, to be honest with you. All I can say is that what used to work doesn't seem to have the same impact that it used to have. I don't know why that is, but certainly coronavirus didn't really help. So anyway, yeah, there you go. So James in the comments says, speakers are harder and harder to find. Some are burnt out, whilst the reverse is that some folks do not want to visit a meetup, let alone speak at one. Yeah, I think all of that is true. That's absolutely true. And Imran, you mentioned that you can't fill out a particular form. Which one? Was that the Mellopress one, or was it the one that I mentioned on my site? Whichever it is, just let us know. I'm sure either.
Or the WP Speakers one that we mentioned in this piece, given the timing of his comments.
Yeah, plot twist. Everybody wants to talk. The form just doesn't work.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, it's so brutal.
I wish. Yeah, that's an easy now. That's easy to fix.
Yeah. And the form for speakers had like 6 pre-questions. Well, I'm not filling that out.
Yeah.
Make it as easy as you can. So yeah, if you got any intuitions on that, I'm sure Elliot would love to hear from you. Like I said, I'm going to have a quick chat with Elliot. Me and Dan and Elliot, maybe knock our heads together and see if we can figure out a sustainable path forwards. Speaking of Dan maybe in the UK, I penned a post the other day to say that WPLDN is turning 150. And by that, you'll notice that's quite a lot older than the WordPress project as a whole, like some 128 years or something older. No, it's 150 events old. So that's a lot. I don't know what that would be in years, but somebody could do the maths, divide that by 12, and you'd be able to figure it out. I've not
15 years, because you don't do 15. It every month. No, usually you might miss some. So yeah, 15 years. Yeah,
it's an old one. So it's been going for ages. And this month we've got Raquel from PressConf, amongst other things. And we've also got Paul Halfpenny from the Filter Agency in the UK. And if you fancy coming and joining, it is coming up this Thursday. So like in literally 3 days' time, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yes, quick maths, Nathan, you can add 3. And that's the plan. If you go to wpldn.uk, you'll be able to see what and where. But it's in central London. It's not that far from the Shard and Borough Market and things like that. So if you've got any intuitions, you want to come and hang out. There'll be 2 sessions followed by drinks just around the corner. And, you know, bring me a mortgage is all I could say.
When I used to live in Edinburgh, when we didn't find speakers, because I used to help organize with that one as well, it's not the best solution, but we used to get online speakers. Someone calls in, we used to have a screen, a monitor, someone from the US sometimes we had, and yeah, they just make a presentation and talk with us.
Was it well received or
okay, as in like being there in person? Of course it's much more different,
yeah,
but sometimes you're stuck. So and people, yeah, it depends who as well, but yeah, we had people asking questions as well to the speaker, so it's better than nothing, you know. You can try. I also like the idea of workshops. I mean, talking about attracting new people to WordPress, most probably if you run a number of workshops, which for us are simple things, how to build the website or how to market the website, you might attract some business owners in your area that don't know what's WordPress or just heard the name. So then they might get involved in the meetup.
I think one of the things as well is it's difficult to, so we were talking about that $400 spend. It's difficult to know where to put your kind of marketing efforts, because at the London one, we have a list which we send out to. But also over the years, I've only been helping out for a couple of years, a couple of years. Dan maybe has been doing it for the full whatever it is. I think it might be 17 years or 16 years or something like that. And I think Meetup was the platform, is the platform that is used for that. But WPLDN is not part of the chapter program. So you have to pay for that. And it's not cheap. It's really not cheap at that level. So it costs a few quid. So, and also you're not sure exactly how these people heard about you. You know, you could ask them, but you're probably going to get a certain amount of people falling off. So anyway, the long and the short of that is, if you've got any intuitions about how to help Elliot put on his Cheltenham meetup, I'm sure he'd love to hear from you, as would I, and Dan maybe as well.
I'd encourage everyone to just write a blog post and share it far and wide so that we can all learn from it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, what you mean after the event, like what happened at the
literally, if you have ideas on how to attract new speakers.
Oh, thank you. Good idea. Yeah, actually, yeah, that's a good idea. And then send me wherever it is. That would be really helpful. Yeah, thank you. It was the WP Speakers form. I will get in touch with Michelle Imran, because she's the custodian of that site. Actually, Marcus is in the comments. He, I think, had some hand in that as well. Maybe I'm wrong about that, Marcus. Apologies.
Marcus. If that's the
case. But anyway, if we'll get you sorted, I'm sure. Oh, and there's Elliot Richmond. You missed it, Elliot. We've been talking about you for the last 5 minutes. It just arrived. Go back, press replay or whatever, and then come in and give us a completely incongruous comment. What was that? What were we talking about? Okay, so there we go. Happy birthday, if you like. It's a bit of a milestone, isn't it? 150 events coming up on Thursday. Right, speaking of which, I put this back up on the screen. We're still with events, not WordPress meetup, but this is Rodolfo, who ran the highly successful, by the sounds of it. I did not go. Did you go, Robert?
It was, yes, it was really well organized. And, everyone stayed at the hotel where the presentation was.
Yep.
So like, it's just like you have breakfast. It's all the time together, basically. And it was a small number, 100-something.
Yep.
So it was much easier to connect even the evening. Just everyone stayed in this place. The evening there were, I forgot what it was, but he organized a quiz, I think, one night. And so there was always something going on. So you could much easier connect. In the evening, everyone was in the hotel lobby, like a few beers, whatever, outside chatting. Okay. Everyone was in one place. But I think even with the number, in fact, I spoke to him as well. Like, you wanted to grow because it's nice, but there's a limit how much you want to grow, because if it grows too much, you lose that sort of intimacy, like very easy to connect, you know, with people.
I think I interviewed Rodolfo before the event, like seven or eight months before the event, when it had gone from the planning stages into the I'm really doing this now stages. And he was able to tell me about the venue. And I think the venue was such a remarkably cool idea, because it's basically this, if it was in fact at the place that I think it was, it's the kind of place you would go on holiday anyway, right? It really felt like an end destination. Yeah. Like there's where we're doing the conference. Oh, there's the beach. You know, it's really close.
Every morning I was running and I saw other people from Gerald Summit running as well. I was with Daniele from WPOK. Every morning went for a run, jumped in the sea, go for a swim, go for breakfast and start the conference. And you see other people running, everyone from Gerald Summit. So it was a touristic area and everyone was in one place. And that's, I think, made a big difference. The number of people and the location and everything.
Yeah. So the fact that it's designed to be fairly small and probably stay fairly small, but also the fact that it's in a niche which can kind of justify that, you know, the spend to go to a foreign destination and in a hotel and all of that kind of stuff. I think well done, Rodolfo, for kind of figuring that out, because there's a lot of jigsaw pieces there's a lot of versions of that event where it didn't work. And by hard work and careful thinking, it looks like Rodolfo's made that into an event which is going to come back round. And so the piece on the screen, the point of raising all of this was that Rodolfo wishes to make it known that, you know, you got to pay the speakers, basically, which I think is probably one of the things which crops up fairly frequently on this show. Pay the speakers and you'll attract, I'm doing air quotes now, good speakers. And you know, people who are good at speaking, who got a lot to say and want to put time into it, would very much welcome being paid for it, I'm sure.
He's also mentioning organizers as well, like, because organizing.
Yeah. Sorry, you're quite right. Yeah, yeah.
It takes a lot of time as well.
Go ahead.
I organized WordCamp and the Broadwise. I was part of the organization team back in the years. It was much smaller. But even then, it used to take a lot of time. I wanted to have a couple of times with WordCamp Netherlands. However, based on the fact that the last few months you have to have a weekly call, like, there's so much going on. We also have a job, you know, so it's a bit difficult.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does take a lot of time and effort to organize. Maybe for me, we can do it because we have a business, but for someone who's a freelance, most probably those hours are coming out from their salary, from their, they could potentially be working on a customer project, you know? So
Yeah. So the interesting thing is that I've found myself on both sides of this discussion. So I've argued in the past as well that we should reimburse speakers and that we should do more for organizers and volunteers and what have you. And the more time I spend in the WordPress community and looking at events overall, also beyond WordPress, the less I think it's true. I don't think that we should be paying organizers. I'm going to focus on organizers for a bit, because yes, WordCamp Europe is a huge achievement to put on. It's insane. I have been part of the organizing team for 2 years, a couple of years ago, longer than I'm willing to admit by now. And I'd say that as a team lead in the WordCamp Europe organizing team, you spend around 300 hours a year organizing, excluding the week of the event itself. So
wow,
before the event, you're going to be between 200 and 300 hours for sure that you've invested. And that's not as a lead organizer, because that will be even more. So yes, it is a huge investment. However, we already have a situation where we try to keep ticket prices as low as we can. We're squeezing sponsors to the max, to the point where ROI, direct ROI at events is hard, but we're getting to a point where it's no longer reasonable, the prices that we ask sponsors. And if we now have 80 organizers for WordCamp Europe, and we want to reimburse them for the hundreds of hours that they each spend, we're talking about thousands and thousands of hours that we need to pay for. There is no way we can have sponsors, have low ticket prices, and pay everyone involved in a WordCamp at a reasonable rate.
Pick two.
Yeah, you cannot have both cheap prices. Like most conferences I've been to outside WordPress, they don't cost 50 euros.
That was the first thing I thought as well, Taco, seeing this, was like, you're going to have to add a zero to the ticket cost then.
Of course.
Yeah. At least.
That's what's going to have to happen. And I don't know. I don't know if that's in line with the core value of democratizing publishing. It doesn't feel very...
interesting, I actually don't know what Rodolfo's ticket cost, but...
It was 200 something, I think, 200.
Okay.
Something along those lines. Yeah.
Not nothing, but not that's quite of an interesting price, isn't it? Because that's kind of halfway where I thought it would be. I thought it would be more like the 5-4 something hundreds, you know, or maybe even stepping into the 500s. He's managed to find a way to make it work when it's small. Because, you know, if you read the article, he makes the point that, you know, he deliberately kept it small, kept costs tight and what have you. If he's planning to grow it, he'll have to have a bit of a rethink there. But if you're going to do something on the scale of WordCamp Europe, like Taco was suggesting, 2,500 people showing up, I reckon, you know, it's not even quick back of the envelope calculation. I'm just making up numbers, but hundreds of thousands of dollars if you're going to be paying people. And presumably at that point, the calculus doesn't work.
Meanwhile, in the comments, Annemieke Bovelet is saying, if organizers were paid to do this full time, we would not need so many organizers.
That's a good point.
Very good point.
Absolutely true. But
Rodolfo, go ahead.
Yeah, there is a thing, because that means that you need people who organize events for a living.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole industry, isn't it? Yeah.
If that's what we want, then we can hire an event organizing company and have it organize WordCamp Europe for us. And I'm pretty sure it would not be, it would probably be very similar in terms of cost compared to the way that we do it now. But part of the charm is that we're bringing together a community.
Yeah.
This is not a commercial event where some unknown person is running the whole show and is making it their full-time job. This is a community event, and that goes for all the WordCamps. These are community events. The idea is that we work together to build them and to put on something that we all learn from and that we can all enjoy.
So maybe
Rodolfo built it on his own. He did it on his own. And on those 2 days or 2 days, how long it was, he has 2 volunteers, but the rest is not on his own. And what Taco was saying, yeah, there's a difference. This one was specifically targeted WooCommerce, selling more checkout. So it was more like business oriented. It wasn't community oriented. It was, so if you want to do business, that was a better place. But what Taco was saying is different. There are different type of conferences. If you go to CloudFest, it's not community organized. It's business focused. So it depends what you want to do, basically.
And then sponsorships are at a completely different level. I mean,
exactly. Yes.
If you're looking at CloudFest, I think the smaller sponsorships, except for the very small business that you can only do once, but the smaller sponsorships start at 50 grand and the top sponsorships are close to $500,000, maybe even more.
Wow.
Yeah, some of them. I used to go to RSA every year. It's you earn points every year you go. So you book your place before, you pay even more. They can go. Yeah, they can run into hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's a different beast. That's a different event.
Yeah. Altogether. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, the main difference for me, I've been to many WordCamps and to a couple CloudFests. And one of those CloudFests, we were a small-time sponsor, was back at Yoast still then. And at a WordCamp, when you meet someone, the first question is, how are you doing? The first question at CloudFest is, how are we going to make money together?
Yeah.
It's a completely different vibe. It's a completely different kind of event. And it's no longer a community event. So I don't think that is the direction that we should take WordCamps in. If anything, especially the local WordCamps should be about bringing together your local community. Mm-hmm. And yes, that's a volunteer job. And it's got to be rewarding because you're seeing 100, 200, 300 people have an amazing event.
So just a couple of quick things on that. So this is an interesting idea, which I've heard before. And it's Imran saying, what if the model were changed so that speakers could advertise their services? I don't know, maybe wear a branded T-shirt or something where when they came on stage, or have like a minute pitch deck or something.
You can already. And
Dan, I was going to go on to say. And then in the presentation, let's say you do a presentation, you've got like a, I don't know, 90-second promo slot at the end or something like that. Anyway, you can see where Imran's going with this. The idea
of Then my question is, how is it not advertising your brand or your personal brand if you're putting on a good talk?
Yeah. Mm, okay. Yeah.
I think you could take it in a slightly different route, though. It doesn't have to be that the talk has to be about that and about advertising your product. It could be that they receive some kind of advertisement outside of the talk or something like that. So the actual talk itself can remain pure. So it isn't just a pitch. It isn't like me going up there and saying, let's talk about how to start your first affiliate program. You know what I mean? It's not like, step one, use this thing in Siren. Like that would obviously be an ad, but like something, but like I could actually have a useful conversation that has nothing to do with my product related to attribution models and stuff like what we were talking about earlier. And then also have some kind of ad placement on the signs or on the website or something like that in some kind of special dedicated place. Like I could see that being some kind of thing. There's other ways to promote something in a less direct way.
So very complicated username says, this is the message that needs to be conveyed about WordCamp Europe. It's a community event. So
I think he's Lewis. He's the organizers of.
Sorry, Lewis. Apologies. I wasn't even going to try and read that. That's a mouthful. I guess chiming into what Taco's saying. Yeah. The vibe is great. And because of that, however, it does look like we're going to have this two strands to WordPress events, aren't we? We're going to have like, you know, Rodolfo's thing and Raquel's thing, PressConf there on the one hand, and then these community events on the other. Anyway, Rodolfo's obviously carved out a niche for himself there, and yeah, I imagine that in the future that will be successful. So go and check that out. Anyway, that incurred quite a lot of chat, which was really good. Right, so we'll quickly breeze through a couple of these things. We mentioned this the other day, and that is this desktop mode, which was one of the projects, and I can't remember who did it, but one of the projects in their automatic crazy month where they let their developers loose on pet projects, this idea of desktop mode. Well, now it appears to have been switched on in WordPress.com. So you can now invoke desktop mode. It's so hard to describe, but basically imagine that you are literally staring at a desktop and you've got a window over here with you, I don't know, your browser, and over here you've got Notion open and what have you. Lots of different windows all positioned where you like them. That's what this is, only it's your WordPress website. One WordPress website. I don't think the idea is that you could have multiple WordPress websites. So you could open the media manager and drop it into a blog post, which is sitting in a separate window over there. That kind of thing. I think it's profoundly cool, and it's been switched on in .com. Yeah, I love it.
I was so sad when Windows Live Writer was shut down forever ago, because I loved the process of publishing from my desktop to WordPress.
Yeah.
I think this is awesome.
So it just mimics a desktop, basically. There's nothing more to say about it. I'm trying to make the video work and I can't. So anyway, go and check it out. If you haven't checked it out already, maybe go and experiment with it. I think it's got legs.
Other than the coolness factor, what problem does it solve for you, Nathan?
Okay, so I always have, and I don't know why, but I always have like 4 or 5 bits of my WordPress website, which I want simultaneously opened. So a perfect example would be like when this episode was first created, I had to learn that it was episode 377. So I had to increment it by one. So I would just permanently like a list of my blog posts over there. I'm constantly on the go with 2 or 3 blog posts. So I'd like those permanently open. I'd like the media library open somewhere else so that I can see what things I've uploaded and drag them into the appropriate post. So I'd probably have 5 or 6 things open basically all at the same time. And then probably the analytics plugin that I've got as well, just to see how things are going. So that's it, really. There's nothing special about that, but I tend to spend quite a lot of time opening up a tab, then at some point in the future, accidentally closing it and then having to reopen it. That's it. It's nothing more remarkable than that, but that I would definitely love.
A few things jump out to me. The first one that comes to mind is native notifications on my desktop. So if we were using that notes feature or something like we were talking about before, and somebody adds a comment and I have the desktop application open, I can receive a notification in the same way I do as using Slack or something like that. Another thing that comes to mind is access to the file system. So maybe I wanted to create a little automation on my desktop that I write a file in Markdown and I put it into a folder, and instead of it having to go through this whole upload process and all this stuff because the desktop application's installed, maybe it can work with some kind of API to integrate with that. Those are the two that come to mind for me. It's just, like I said, access to the file system and notification support. There's a lot of different things that could be done with WordPress that could be really cool.
I've actually got the video to work now, and there's one screen.
Yeah,
sorry,
what you're describing, Alex, feels different than what this is, right? I mean, this is a desktop style within WordPress, but it's just in a
tab. It won't have access to the underlying operating system, so it's not like a layer on top of Linux or
Mac. I get OS. That. I guess you're right. Maybe I'm sorry. I jumped a step ahead. I'm already assuming that it is installed as such. So I'm assuming that like this is this can be installed as a like a Electron app.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it can run in the desktop. Sorry, I forgot that part didn't happen. I'm already ahead.
Here's an example. You can sort of see it on the screen. An apology. This is not the best version of it, but this is the sort of thing that I would have. I'd have it set up a bit like that, where I'd have these 4 overlapping things. But also, there's a sort of tabbed interface. You can't see it on this screen, but in other screenshots, you can see there's like tabs running across the top. So something that you accidentally closed, you can then sort of just pop it back up again, so you can kind of minimize it, if you know what I mean. I think for me it would work superbly well, but I'm in WordPress all the time. I imagine for most casual users probably not, but I'm genuinely excited about it. So there you go.
So I haven't found a use case for my workflows that would make my workflows easier by having this. So that's why I was genuinely curious, like what's it doing for you? Because maybe that's the eureka moment for me as
No, and sadly, I don't have anything sort of groundbreaking there. It literally is a case of me wasting. I really should just use bookmarks or something more effectively, but I don't. And so having everything open all at once would excite me greatly. Anyway, apologies. Time is running out very quickly. So I just want to go to a couple of things very fast. We did mention this last week, but just a quick hat tip to Simon Harper from LoopWP. His newsletter has come to an end, although he is still sending things out to subscribers on a sort of when he feels like it basis. But Taka, was there anything more on that?
No, mostly just a hat tip for doing 210 issues of a very useful newsletter.
Yeah, really nice. Yeah, so Simon, thank you. I appreciate it really a lot. You know, it sounds like empty words, doesn't it, now that I'm saying it, but no, it's not. Right. Okay. WordCamp India needs a home. So if you fulfill the criteria down here, where you've got to, you know, if you've got a host city that you're thinking of, I haven't got time now to go into it, but basically you've got until the end of June. So not very long. Before you can apply. But if you're in India and you would like to host the first flagship WordCamp India, there's a whole ton of criteria. But if you meet those, then you could be the recipient of that. Also, the WP World, Marcus is in the comments. Oh, I forgot to put Marcus's comment up. He did say that, where's it gone? WP Speakers is not his thing, so if the form is broken, we'll have to speak to Michelle on your behalf. It was Sponsor Me WP that they worked on together, so there you go. Right, anyway, the WP World has put out a small call for sponsors who care about the WordPress community. So if you've used the WP World in the past before, it is the resource bar none, I think, really, for finding other WordPresses, especially, you know, the kind of events that they've been to, where they are tagged within the world, what events are going on, and a ton more. In order to keep going, Marcus is seeking sponsorship. There's loads of data here about the reach of it and what you would receive in return. And they've only got three. I don't know if that's still the case, but they've got three spots available, and you can see the price
at a discount. There. Yes,
at a discount. Yeah, so go check it out. You might be able to make use of that. Three spots available. The wp.world/ these words are all hyphenated, call for sponsors. Go and check it out. Keep that valuable resource going. Thank you to anybody that does that. Right, okay. I'm not going to do that or that. I'm going to skip through all the AI stuff, if that's all right. We talk enough about AI. Is that okay?
Good God, yes.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I'm so sorry, Alex.
No, it's okay. No, it is okay.
AI stuff is genuinely really interesting.
Please, anything but.
I didn't know this was even a thing. And then all this news started to come in last week about the EU withdrawal compliance, which apparently everybody had to have all in line. This is, I think I'm summarizing it correctly. Let's say, for example, you go to a website and you confirm a subscription. I don't know, it's a membership site or something like that. You now, if you're operating with people in the EU, you now need to make it so that withdrawing from, in this case, a membership site is as simple as it was to instate it. So basically, if you could click a button to start that membership, you need to be able to click a button to terminate that membership. And it needs to be like really transparent. And so obviously, you know, if you're working within the EU, that's a hell of a lot of millions of people. I'm imagining this sort of thing is going to be internationally applicable. This is a FluentCart article where they explain how they've done it for products that you buy through their platform. Obviously, they've got a huge platform for buying products and memberships and, you know, single digital goods or whatever it may be, and they've now built this, and they go into how they do that. But honestly, I didn't even know this was a thing, and then all of a sudden it dropped, and now I think a lot of companies are sort of scrambling around trying to figure out how they make themselves compliant. Kind of reminds me a bit like those GDPR days. Anybody want to add anything to that?
Yeah. So for us Dutchies, this is nothing new. We've had this for the longest time. But I think a new European or European Union guideline went into effect half June or something, which is why you're now seeing a lot more around this.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, if you're selling into the EU marketplace or you've got EU customers, I think this is something you are going to have to take seriously, because the ambulance chasing lawyers, they're getting ready. If you make it really, really difficult, I'm not looking at you, plugin developer, you know, but some of you are quite good at making it hard to unsubscribe. You know who you are. Don't. Just make it, if we could press a button to subscribe, we should be able to press a button to unsubscribe. That's the idea. Anyway, right. No, we'll move on. I'm just trying to find the right one. And it begins here. Right. We've got about 10 minutes or so. Said we'd put the security bits and pieces towards the end. So that's what we're going to do. Robert, being a security expert, has got a few bits and pieces. Do you want to start us off with this one? This is the opt-in monster page.
Yes. So lately we've been seeing the supply chain attacks. They're not exclusive to WordPress. With open source, they're very common-ish. The concept is, so when you have a WordPress plugin installed on your website, it contacts WordPress.org or the vendor if it's premium, and it downloads the plugin from there. And that supply chain is infected. In this case, it's actually a very good example of how a simple, outdated plugin can lead to a big issue. Like in this case, what happened is they had, I think it's mentioned in their article, because OptinMonster published an analysis of what happened. So basically they were running an outdated version of Updraft Plus plugin, which was vulnerable. Someone hacked through it, and by hacking through it, they got access to the website OptinMonster. And by having access, they located the API key to their CDN, where they distribute all the files. And they modified some of the files which the clients received, basically. And they had a tempered script. And the script was basically checking if the logged in user is admin. And if the logged in user is admin, it creates a hidden admin account. It installs a self-hiding backdoor. It exposes an authenticated web shell. It allows code execution, basically. And granting.
It's fairly bad, right?
It's, but it is like when people chain things. So by exploiting a vulnerability in Updraft, a simple thing, it led to all of this whole chain of events, basically. And by 13 June, I think there were at least 1.2 million sites which were hit by this issue. I mean, OptinMonster is a huge plugin. So
yeah, okay. Big one. That's one of those ones where you've just got this chain of events, and the one little thing, Updraft Plus, it's fine. You know, yeah, it's a bit out of date, but it's a backup plugin. What could possibly go wrong? The vulnerability in that then led to a cascade of other dominoes falling. Wow. Okay. Yeah. And now,
I mean, a few years ago, I remember I had written about a vulnerability, the same Apache, the web server, the foundation. They were running some vulnerable older version of bug tracking system, and someone posted this ticket, I have this issue, please click this link. Someone from the Apache team foundation clicked on it. Anyway, their account got hijacked, and they managed, through a chain of events, they managed to get access to the root of the Apache.org servers.
I keep saying it, but I'm going to say it again. If you're a hacker, stop it. Just stop it. Go and sit on the bottom step and think about what you're doing.
I mean, they are, in all fairness, they are brilliant people. Huh? They are very brilliant
people. Yeah, like the cleverest of the clever. You know,
therein lies the rub.
They're so good. And also, I know that's, I'm obviously being silly when I tell them to stop it. Like, that's going to do anything. But you've got to, in some small way, you've got to admire like their capacities to be, you know, novel, new thinkers, problem solvers, and all of that kind of thing. It's just, it's just a shame when other people who have no business being caught up in any of this get caught up in any of this because they happen to have an outdated plugin on their server and what have you.
All I could ever think is where they could use that talent.
Oh, Yeah.
Cancer would have been cured.
Yeah, that's right. So, WordPress events. Just go and do that.
The thing that worries me most is that apparently being a hacker pays more is worth the risk compared to being an ethical hacker is hired by companies to secure their systems.
Totally.
Yeah.
So, maybe we need to fix that problem.
Yeah, honestly. The canvas for getting things, you know, if you happen to stumble across one vulnerability, there's always that chance of the pot of gold, isn't there? You know, like life-changing amounts of money in a couple of weeks because you discovered this one thing, as opposed to I'll get a regular paycheck for the rest of my life and it'll be this.
It's easier said than done to stop it.
Of course.
When you look at the biggest buyers of zero-day issues, they are governments from different countries. So,
stop that as well. that's not going to happen. I remember once watching like the reportage from Pwn to Own, where ethical hackers go and they try to break things like, I don't know, the Chrome sandbox or Mac OS or iOS or whatever it may be. And just being in awe of the number of things that they piggybacked off to get what they finally wanted, you know, like 7 or 8 seriously gnarly problems that they had to solve in order to get the final thing. The one domino that they were trying to get to fall was because of 7 or 8 different things that they managed to pull off. And it's nuts. Anyway, right. Quickly moving on. Let's get through as many of these as we can. That's the same story, I'm guessing. Yeah, so we can put that one to one side. PSA, this is a WordFence one. Public supply chain, supply chain compromise targets Shaped plugin, backdoored pro plugins distributed via official channels. What's this one?
Yeah, this one is the same, another supply chain attack. I forgot exactly how it happened, but what the attacker did basically, they updated the files of the premium plugin. So when the customers downloaded the update of the premium plugins, they got this malicious version of the plugin, and it was sending credentials to a server. It was also sending 2FA keys. So it was looking for funny enough the 2FA the secrets of users when you configure 2FA the plugin store a secret about the user. It was looking for W2FA or plugin. It was looking for two-factor, the other plugin, a WordFence plugin, and was looking for these keys of all the users and sending them to a server. Exfiltration of credentials.
That one thing that you hope is going to be your kind of like final get out of jail free card because you've got 2FA on the website. Yeah. Oh, it's fine. We've lost the password, but it doesn't matter.
It created a file on the website, on the hacked website, which updated the plugin. That exposes the WP config completely. And an account as well. It was a bit of a... And also, it also published the list of WooCommerce orders for the last 3 months with payment methods on that website. One big mess. Right.
Again, stop it, please. You know, I'm asking nicely.
I said please.
Yeah, exactly. Please, exactly. That's it. That's all they need. this one we covered last week, actually. So I'm going to ignore that. Not ignore, but protect the shy. Go and read it by Matt Mulloway. It's a sort of an idea of getting over this problem.
Yeah. This is the trademark violation by the guy who's been talking about trademark violations for...
What do you mean it's trademark violation? What do you mean? Sorry.
The Shire, Gandalf, it's all trademark.
Oh, I see. The Mirkwood thing. Oh, yeah. Those words are trademarked, are they?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Interesting. Yeah. Oh, there you go. The Tolkien family, I think, run all of that, don't they? They've got like the whole teeth into that every time.
Yep.
Somebody, okay. Well, we'll have to wait and see if that ends up in court. and there are a couple of more, but the last one is nothing to do with security. This is just to say, speaking of events, I should have pushed it into the event bit earlier. If you want to volunteer, as Taco was urging earlier, WordCamp US is looking for volunteers for all manner of different things. And the website will say what those things are. But if you go to...
I will say, if you've never been to a WordCamp and WordCamp US 26 is going to be your first WordCamp, sign up as a volunteer. it is the best way to meet new people.
For sure.
Nice. Okay.
I volunteered to a few red camps. Yes, it's one of the best ways to meet
people. Yeah, that is nice.
It's rewarding.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah, you don't feel that kind of... I've not done it, so I'm speaking like I have, but I haven't. I guess you don't have that problem of walking into a room full of people and feeling like there's nobody there for you. Right, yeah, right.
Exactly. You're in a team, you're part of a team, you have a task, and you have a reason to interact with people.
Okay.
You have peers. Right. It's by far the best way to get into WordCamps.
Okay, yep. Great. And Marcus says, thanks for mentioning the sponsorship. Of course, yeah, it goes without saying. And Elliot's back. He says he thought he recognized the accent. Robert, you come... Well, Sijiri. I don't know how to say that word.
Sijiri. That's the village.
Okay, Sijiri. Yeah, there's so many dots. There's all the cheese across the top. You come from whatever he said. I used to live in
Birkirkara.
I'm so bad at reading all of
this. Small teasers.
Father still lives in Malta, and he says, I'll be visiting in August. Okay, there you go.
He got Malta, there though.
Yeah. Woohoo! I got one. Oh, that's right. Right. Okay. Just before we go, this is a weird one. I've never done this, never done anything like this. So apologies. I'm going to advertise something from a family member, which is my son. My son writes music and I'm a proud father. I think he's quite good. And I'm trying to be as objective as possible. I think it's good. But if you fancy listening to it and spreading the word, that would help him greatly in his nascent music career. The band, he writes loads of music by himself, and that's really, I think, probably where the main focus of his energies go. But the band is called Limeys that he's in. And if you want to locate it, there's an obvious word, YouTube URL that's really hard to find. So I've made this short link. If you go to wpbuilds.com/link/groove. I should have put Limeys. wpbuilds.com/link/groove. They made a video of four songs. It's all live. So, you know, if there's any mistakes, it's because it's live. And there's four of them in it. And it makes me proud. So apologies.
I'm not sure your link's working.
It works.
It works. It works for me. Yeah, it works.
What's the, what does your son play?
A lot.
yes.
Yeah. In this,
it's actually just four of him in the video.
No. In this, it's piano and singing. So the cool kid that's playing the piano and doing the singing, that's him. In other things, he plays many. He's annoyingly talented, and it's none of it is
like his father.
No. I can play the kazoo badly.
You could certainly help him set up the audio equipment.
I could plug things in. Yeah, I'm really good at plugging the things in. Anyway, there we go. Apologies about that. But I thought, why not, you know?
Never apologize for being proud of your kids, Nathan.
No, I'm not apologizing. No, I'm not. It's not that. It's just that this is certainly not a channel where typically that is what I do. So anyway, there we go. It's a bit weird. But that's it. If you want to find the show notes, we'll publish this in the morning, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Search for This Week in WordPress number 377 on WordPress.com. WPBuilds.com. If you want to keep subscribed, go to that link, WPBuilds.com/subscribe, or fill in that box on the homepage and we'll send you an email when that comes out. There'll be loads of stories that aren't covered by this as well. So just before we end, we have to do our humiliating hand wave, or the hand wave of joy, depending on how you want to see it. Let's go for it. There we go. We've done that. All that it remains for me to do is say very thanks. Lots of thanks to Taco over there. Thank you very much. To Robert Abella down there. Thank you very much. And to, where is he? He's there. And to Alex Standiford over there. Thank you very much. We will be back next week. We'll see you at some point in the near future. Thank you very much indeed. Take it easy. And thanks, if the three of you want to stick around for a little natter after this, that would be lovely. So we will see you in a bit. Cheers.
Thanks.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.